At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Right now, drive home a new 2025 Volkswagen Tiguan for 2.9% APR for up to 60 months.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 11-3-2025.
The NE-File, the ultimate Patriots podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome to another edition of the NFL Files. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you for being here. Week one in the National Football League is in the books. We now get a chance to look back at week one and also start to preview week two. We will do so by checking in on the team, figuring out the very latest injuries, expectations, the highs and lows of week one. Then we'll go around the NFL. We'll do that with the NFL Network's Brian Billick. And then in overtime this week, speaking of the NFL Network, one of the newest faces there on the NFL Network, Mike Garofolo, will join me for overtime, a six-pack of questions. It all gets started right now on the NFL Files.
The big interview.
It's time to talk Pats. Let's do it. We bring in, you find him on Twitter at XNOJoe. It is John Serenitas. Let's talk some Patriots with John. John, got to be honest with you. I think a missed kick is always a deep breath and a sigh of relief. But when I looked at the four games that the Patriots had to play without Tom Brady, frankly, the only one I thought that was going to be dangerous for them was Arizona. How good are you and Pats fans feeling right now to escape the desert with a win?
Well, I think you have to feel really good if you're a Patriots fan, Nate, because let's be honest, most people around here felt the same way as you did. They looked at this as a potential loss. You got Jimmy Garoppolo starting at quarterback. You're playing without Rob Gronkowski, Nate Solder. So I think a lot of people around these parts had them pegged as going 3-1, possibly 2-2. So to get a win in Arizona against a quality opponent like that, a team that is a Super Bowl contender, I think is a big feather in the cap of not only Jimmy Garoppolo, but the Patriots moving forward. And now they're in a position where their schedule is set up to where if they can take care of business the next 3 weeks, they're in pretty good shape by the time Tom Brady comes back in week five against the Browns.
What did you like the most out of Garoppolo's performance, John, and what still has you a little bit nervous going through the next 3 weeks?
Well, first of all, I got to be honest with you. I really liked what Josh McDaniels did with the game plan. I've been saying all along, and I've been saying it throughout this summer, that they need to cater to Jimmy Garoppolo's strengths. Get the ball out quick, take advantage of his quick release, his accuracy, three-step drop, quick five-step passes, play action screens. They did all of that on Sunday night. I liked the fact that he processed quickly. He knew where he wanted to go with the football in his pre- and post-snap drop, and he got it there. He still has a tendency to hold the ball. He took a couple of sacks because he doesn't move as well in the pocket as Tom Brady does or as a lot of other quarterbacks, quite frankly, do around the league. But I thought overall he played really well, and I think a lot of that was a byproduct of the fact that Josh McDaniels catered this game plan to his strengths and what he does well, and that's getting the ball out quick and his accuracy.
Obviously some confidence when you see LeGarrette Blount running the way that he did, especially knowing that the Arizona defense is a good one. How did you feel about the running game on Sunday night, John?
I felt really good because going into this game, I felt that balance was going to be important to the Patriots if they wanted to have any kind of success against Arizona. And look, we know the Patriots through the years, throughout this Belichick-Brady era, they're always going to be a 65-35, 70-30 pass-to-run team. But while Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback, you got to be more 60-40 pass-to-run. There's got to be a little bit more balance. And I thought that they did a nice job of running the football and complimenting Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball 33 times on Sunday night. The Patriots ran the football 31 times. That's the kind of balance that they're going to need to strive for moving forward, especially in the next 3 weeks. When you get Brady back week five, go back to that 65-35 ratio. But for now, it's got to be closer to that 60-40, 55-45. You have to supplement your passing game with a solid running game. And I thought they did that. Again, McGarrett didn't post big numbers. He had 70 yards rushing. But the fact that they were bounced, I think, was very beneficial to them in this game.
John, was there any concern with you that you didn't see Martellus Bennett really get going in this game, considering how much this team has relied on the tight end? There were a lot that had expected that with Gronk out, that Bennett might wind up picking up and getting 6, 7, 8, 9 receptions, and he only wound up with 3. Cause for concern for you? Have you scratching your head? What do you chalk it up to?
Well, I think it is a little bit of a cause for concern because we're talking about a guy that's been a number one tight end throughout his career. You bring him here, now he's your second tight end, but in actuality, he's 1A. He's a guy that you can generate touches for, you can game plan touches for him. And I thought, especially when you consider how much they ran two-back formations, how much they went 21 personnel, I thought for sure that he would be a bigger part of this game plan. But clearly he wasn't. And what surprised me was, if you go back to the preseason, Jimmy Garoppolo consistently looked to him. Early on in the preseason, in those first two preseason games, he was Jimmy Garoppolo's go-to guy, if you will. And I didn't see that on Sunday night. Now, is it a cause for concern? I don't know if I'd go that far, but I'd like to see him be more involved in the game plan this week because they are going to need him to be a big part of not only these next three games, but really the rest of the season, because with hamstring injuries, they linger. We don't know if Rob Gronkowski is truly going to be 100% healthy this season. So Martellus Bennett is going to be a key guy in New England's passing game. They need to get him going this week against the Dolphins.
What do you think of the performance of the offensive line, and what part, if you had to put it under a microscope, what still has you concerned?
Well, first of all, hat tip to offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia. And I know people around here have been tongue-bathing him all preseason and things are going to be different now because Coach Scar is back and everything else. He's a tremendous coach. But he did a great job of taking 5 guys, that 3 of which are backups, and making them a cohesive unit Sunday night and maximizing their ability. I thought the offensive line played pretty well, especially when you consider you have 2 guys in Marcus Cannon at right tackle and Cam Fleming at left tackle that have really struggled in pass pro. I thought the Patriots got a lot out of them on Sunday night. I thought they played well. They played as a cohesive unit. And I think if this offensive line can get healthy with Scarnecchia back, they're going to be pretty good. My concern is you need to get Nate Solder back. You know, Sebastian Ballmer is probably done for the year, but you need to get Nate Solder back because as well as these guys played Friday night, or Sunday night rather, you don't want to go into these next 2, 3, 4 games with that being your starting offensive line because defensive coordinators are going to be able to game plan them. So I think, while it's nice that they played well Sunday night, get Nate Solder back.
One thing, John, that you'll be looking for in the game this weekend against the Dolphins that maybe you didn't see in the game on Sunday night, what are you going to be watching for against Miami?
Well, I'd like to see the defense play better, to be honest with you, Nate, because while they played well enough to win this game, they bent the take, they didn't play to the level that they had showed in the preseason, and I don't think they played to the level that they played at last year when they were a top 10 unit. They're going to need to play better. I'm looking for them to play better this week. I don't think Miami poses as much of a challenge schematically as Arizona does. I don't think that Ryan Tannehill is as good as Carson Palmer, and I don't think they have the weapons that Arizona has. So they should play better defensively this week because while they came up with a couple of big stops in the second half of Sunday night game, you didn't walk away from that game feeling like, okay, this defense is playing at a championship caliber level. I think the talent is there for them to play at that level. They've got to play at that level this week, especially Jamie Collins. He was a complete non-factor on Sunday. He needs to play better. They need to play better collectively on defense.
John, last one for you. I think if prior to the start of the year, you probably would say that the game that had you the most concerned was a road game first weekend, Sunday night football against the Cardinals, who are one of the favorites in the NFC. Now that that is out of the way, of these next 3 without Brady, I've got to believe, John, that the one that probably concerns you the most is the Texans at home, only because it's going to wind up being a short week. Is that true of the next 3 between the Dolphins, Texans, and Bills?
Yes, it is. I think it is because, look, you have a book on the Dolphins and the Bills, and you know how to game plan them. You know how to prepare for them. It's not that you don't know how to prepare for the Houston Texans. I mean, it's Bill O'Brien. He was on your staff. You know what he's going to do. He's running a similar offense in Houston. But it's a talent level thing. The Texans are a better football team than the Dolphins and the Bills right now. And then you factor in the short week, that is a cause for concern. So there's no question that of these next three, that's going to be their toughest challenge. You can get away with beating a Miami by a field goal or a touchdown. Same thing with a Buffalo. But I think you're going to need to play better than that. You're going to need to play at a higher level if you want to beat the Houston Texans. Because, again, on paper, they're a talented football team. They're well coached. It's going to be like looking in the mirror a little bit offensively. The Patriots are going to need to play at a higher level if they want to beat Houston here.
Great coverage of the Patriots. Make sure you're following John on Twitter. You find him at XNOJoe. And talking Patriots with John Serenitas. John, really appreciate the time on the podcast. Look forward to talking with you again as we go throughout the season. Thanks, John.
Sounds good, Nate. Thank you.
There goes John. Up next, the coach, Brian Billick. Stick around.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the NFL, and we do that each week with the coach, Brian Billick. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick. And as he is each week, he's brought to us by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got the SeatGeek app on your mobile device or that you're visiting SeatGeek.com. Make sure you, your family, your friends are always getting the best deal on tickets, and you do that with the SeatGeek app. Coach, let's start here with the Monday night game. A lot of people surprised not only for Jared Goff not to start, but not even active. I know I'm asking you to speculate, but why do you believe the number one overall pick is not out there for the Rams, given how inept their offense looked overall?
Well, you can only assume that Jeff Fisher doesn't think he's ready. Let's go back to Jeff's history. When they drafted Steve McNair back in the 90s, he didn't actually start until his third season. They carried him along, felt like they needed to nurture him. They had two losing seasons leading up to that, and then he finally found his way into the starting lineup. If Jared Goff is not better than Case Keenum, they got a real problem, because obviously they were betting on playing great defense, running the ball, which they didn't last night. Todd Gurley only had 47 yards in 17 carries. And Case Keenum, maybe you can play that formula. Well, he was only 17-35, but he had two interceptions. If you're going to play that play great defense, run the ball formula, you got to run the ball and can't turn it over. So if they're not going to play a lot better than that, you got to put Jared Goff in just to get the experience.
Coach, is the Niners defense improved, or was this just a matter of the Rams being that bad?
Well, we're going to find out. We don't know, because the Rams offense was basically so inept. We're going to have to see how it pans out. It's likely they're a little bit better than we all thought they were going to be, but their roster, when you look at it, you have some question marks, notwithstanding even the offensive side. Obviously, what Chip Kelly's doing, they have a lot of confidence. They obviously look pretty good. But we're going to find out, particularly this week, when they're going to play the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to find out more about L.A. and the fact that they play the Seattle Seahawks. In terms of San Francisco 49ers, the next step for them, obviously, is to, can they – indeed go on the road, and it's a tall task because they're going across the country to the Carolina Panthers. Now you're going to see a legitimate run offense. You're going to see maybe the best quarterback or the best athlete in the game in Cam Newton, and a very, very good Carolina defense. So it's going to be a test for the 49ers. They go across the country and put that kind of performance together against Carolina, then we're all going to say, nope, we were all kind of wrong. This team's pretty good.
For some people, looking at the AFC, the Steelers were a bit of a sleeper pick for some experts, Coach. Did you see that out of them in their Monday night contest against Washington? Could they contend in the AFC?
Well, I've on record, I had Pittsburgh down as my Super Bowl team. I think they could be, if they can stay healthy. And that's the key. And we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, obviously Antonio Brown. That offensive line, which is healthy and looks spectacular. Le'Veon Bell's not there, but D'Angelo Williams, let's remember last year he cranked off 127 yards in the opener as well. So D'Angelo Williams is a good, physical, Pittsburgh Steeler type of runner that they got to love doing, seeing what he's doing for them. And defensively, I think they're improved. They're healthy, although you see Ryan Shazier may be hurt. I go back to the injury situation. Of course, that's true of any team. But they were obviously spectacular. Washington's suspect on defense. But I still feel like Pittsburgh is the team to beat in the AFC. They too, okay? Now you got to follow up with it. because you've got a Cincinnati team coming into town that looked pretty good, and it's open.
When we look at the AFC, Coach, and you know this as well as anyone, you can't bet against Bill Belichick. There were those that said if the Patriots could go through their first four games without Tom Brady and be 2-2, that everybody would be happy. But based on how they performed against Arizona, is it out of the realm of possibilities that they might be 3-1 or even 4-0 by the time Brady comes back?
Yeah, and I was one of them on our show Game Day First for the NFL Network. We were talking about it, and I believe all of us picked Arizona to win, and to a man, we said, but we're nervous about it, because anytime you pick against the Patriots and Belichick, and particularly a Brady-less Belichick, you have a little bit of confidence. They come back and bite you every time. So, no, this bodes well for them. For them, they don't look at it that way, and he's the master at one game at a time. They got Miami coming to town, so it's a divisional game, which is important for them. But I'd be surprised if anybody picks the Patriots to lose to Miami at home.
Speaking of Miami, they went on the road in really just a defensive slugfest there against Seattle. What did you see out of the Dolphins? And also, Coach, what did you see out of Seattle?
Well, and that I was impressed with that. I mean, that's a tough place to go. We talked last week about the value I put on the ability to go on the road and win, particularly in an opener, and particularly when you're talking about Miami going to Seattle. They'd been better off going to London. It would be an easier trip for them. That's a tough slot. The defense was impressive. I think it was an example of Russell Wilson this year. I think it's going to have to be finally a 500-plus throw quarterback. He's been under that his first few years because they haven't had to do more than that. Play great defense, run the ball. Not that they're not going to continue to play great defense. They ran the ball okay, but Russell Wilson threw the ball 43 times. And I think we're going to see more of that this year because they're going to need for him to throw the ball in order to get the win.
We know it was against the Cleveland Browns, but at the same time, Carson Wentz came out, a guy that just a few weeks ago, Coach, wasn't even expected to start because Sam Bradford was there, and he wound up with 278 yards, a couple of touchdowns. What did you think of the rookie's performance?
Yeah, very impressive. I mean, particularly for rookie, you just want to see, are they overwhelmed? Do they look like they can function? And both he and Dak Prescott played very, very well. It was interesting to watch them. It was the same game plan. Both opened up with a lot of boots and outside the pocket, to settle them down, make it an easy read, and then eventually evolved where they had to throw more from the pocket. Now, and it's good for their development. I don't know that you want a rookie throwing the ball 37 times a game like Wentz did, or 45 times like Dak Prescott. But from a development standpoint, because that puts them on a 600-throw season, which would be great for their development as a quarterback, but in terms of winning games and that profile, that would be a steep curve for these rookies. But I tell you what, they look like they were up to it. Where you saw it was down on third down. Both struggled a little bit in third down in those critical areas. Although Carson Wentz in the red zone looked pretty good. You had to be pleased, even though, of course, Dallas lost. You had to be pleased, both teams, with the starts of their rookies, Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz.
Kansas City Chiefs pull off the biggest comeback for them in 56 years with their franchise. Is this a legit AFC West contender? I would assume so, based on what we've seen out of Andy Reid and Alex Smith managing the game.
Oh, absolutely. And it was who didn't play for them that's significant, that they all but at home could come back that way. That'll give them a lot of confidence. Now, obviously, Denver looks to be very solid. Huge win by the Oakland Raiders in New Orleans. They're going to be a factor as well. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think this is going to be a very tight division, but certainly that bodes well for Kansas City, if nothing else, give them the confidence to know, yeah, even without Jamal Charles and some of the other players we didn't have there, we're a pretty good football team.
You just brought up the Raiders, and it's been an interesting conversation in looking at Oakland, because there were those that have criticized their opening game, saying, well, wait, this was supposed to be a team that was extremely strong on defense, and here they gave up 34 points. But the counter to that, Coach, is, well, just about everybody gives up at least 30 points facing Drew Brees.
Yeah, if you're going to dismiss anybody, everybody that gives up a lot of points, a lot of yards, Drew Brees, the New Orleans Saints, at home in that dome, you can check off pretty much the entire league. This guy's pretty good. I was very impressed with Oakland's ability to go on the road in one of the toughest places to play of all football, particularly in the opener, and to do it in the way they did, to come back the way they did, to go for it on two-point conversion twice and to get it, that bodes very well for that team, a resiliency on that team. And, yeah, certainly some things, the big plays they're going to have to cut down on. I know that was disappointing for Ken Norton Jr. And his defense, but they're not the Lone Ranger in that regard when it comes to New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints defense continues. They're going to have a tough time this year because Drew Brees and Sean Payton know once again they got to score a minimum of 30 points a game or they got no chance.
Takes a lot of guts to do what Coach Jack Del Rio did at the end of the game. Coach, do you think you could have done the same thing if you were coaching?
Well, I've told in a lot of interviews that I'm doing talk about, you typically, particularly going on the road, you'll get with the staff and say, okay, guys, what's our mentality going to be at the end of the game? We've got to go for two. I mean, you put that down specifically at what do you guys think? It's different at home than it is possibly on the road. And go through the mindset of Jack Del Rio. Okay, I'm going to take a 50-50 chance of getting a two-point play. Or what are my odds if I go into overtime in New Orleans on the road that late in the game against that crowd and, oh, by the way, against the Hall of Famer like Drew Brees? I kind of like my odds with the two-point play rather than putting it in Drew Brees' hands.
He's the coach, Brian Billick. We say it every week. If you spend 10, 15 minutes with the coach, you're a smarter football fan. He's brought to us every week here on the NFL Files podcast by SeatGeek. Make sure you've downloaded the SeatGeek app or visited SeatGeek.com. It's a great way for you to make sure if you're getting tickets to a sporting event or a concert that you're getting the absolute best deal for you and your friends. That's the SeatGeek app. Coach, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Overtime.
For Overtime on the NFL Files, Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. First of all, Mike, congratulations on making the jump to NFL Network. We've got a six-pack of questions for you, rapid-fire style. Let's start here. After seeing what happened with Jack Del Rio, are we going to see more coaches go for two?
I don't think so. I think a lot of them are still conservative by nature, and Jack Del Rio is a more forward-thinking coach and has been for a while, so it doesn't shock me that he's the guy, and you know, there is an old adage, you play for the win on the road, you play for the tie at home, so maybe the situation, you know, bared out for that one, and the momentum that they had at the time. I just don't see that being something that all of a sudden coaches are going to start doing, because the minute they fail, they're going to be called upon as bozos.
All right, question number two in the six-pack. For you, the biggest surprise of week one?
Probably the Detroit Lions. You know, I went up there and I heard all that positive talk about their offense and how they wouldn't miss Calvin Johnson. And everything I heard was that this offense actually, not that they'd be better off without Calvin Johnson, but for this offense, the way that they want to spread the ball around, nothing really runs through one person. So that they'd be able to kind of move that ball around. And you hear that and you go, yeah, but you're going to be without Calvin Johnson. So how's that possible? Well, you saw on display. Now, that's not the best defense they're going to face all year. Maybe one of the worst, as a matter of fact. So they're going to have to continue to prove that. But to me, that was a surprise they were able to pull that one off.
All right, Mike, question number three. Does Larry Fitzgerald actually have a secret fountain of youth? And if so, how do you and I get some of it?
He is amazing. And it's all about how he takes care of his body and his dedication to the game. And it is up there with some of the greats of all time. And I don't know if this is going to be his last season. I think a lot of it's going to depend on what kind of success the Cardinals have and whether he thinks this team could you know, have more success a year from now. I don't think that decision's been made yet. I think it's a possibility, but at the very least, I think he could absolutely continue to play at a high level for beyond this season.
It's Overtime on the NFL Files. Mike Garofolo from NFL Network with me. Follow him on Twitter, at Mike Garofolo. Mike, question number four, true or false? The Patriots will go 4-0 with Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'll go true. Yeah, just because they've got three more home games here, and then they catch Houston on a short week on the Thursday night game at home. So, I think it's a possibility, and sure, I'll ride with my somewhat similar namesake here.
There you go. All right, question number five for you. Based on what you saw in week one, who wins the NFC East?
I'm still going Redskins. Just because I didn't expect anybody to run away with it, I still don't. I think that's a terrific team that they played. I'm not going to overreact to that one. I do think that there are holes on that roster. I think there's things that they need to patch up, but I'm not going to overreact to that one. There's going to be the opposite of overreaction Monday, even though it's beyond Monday, but it's going to be the opposite of that, because I still believe that they're going to be the team that winds up coming out on top.
Mike Garofolo with me. Last question for you in our six-pack. If you had the choice, and obviously the athletic ability as well, Mike, if you had the choice, would you rather catch a touchdown from your favorite quarterback or sack your most hated rival quarterback?
Probably the TD. Just because, you know, those guys, the skill position guys get all the glory, and then you get to do, well, I guess you can do a dance after the sack, but the end zone dances to me are always, there's more options down there amongst the fans and the goalposts and all that stuff. I'd even draw a penalty for using something as a prop.
All right, bonus answer to this one, Mike. Who would that quarterback be for you? Who's your favorite? Who would you want to be on the receiving end of?
My favorite of all time? I grew up watching Randall Cunningham, so that would have to be my guy.
There you go. Mike Garofolo with us on Overtime on the NFL Files. Make sure you watch him now that he's on NFL Network. Again, congratulations, and follow him on Twitter, at Mike Garofolo. Mike, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me.
You got it, Nate.
Mike Garofolo, NFL Network, appreciate his time. As I mentioned, just made the jump from Fox to NFL Network, and prior to that, he had been with USA Today. So definitely moving up the ladder when it comes to covering football. Appreciate your time joining me this week on this edition of the NFL Files. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week right here.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.